I serve on a board at the conference level of the United Church of Christ here in Vermont called the Ministerial Standing and Standards Committee. It's a really exciting name. The work on this committee is somewhat important. We guide people who would like to be pastors through a discernment process toward ordination. We meet with new pastors who are new to Vermont to get to know them and to ensure that they are in good standing with their previous call. And occasionally, we step in for situational support if a pastor is struggling personally or vocationally. And I admit, it's a lot of work. We meet in Randolph once a month from 9 until 3 or 9 until 4. And I have two members in discernment that I check in with every month, and there is a lot of reading every single month for this committee. And sometimes, especially for some reason in the spring, there's a part of me that doesn't want to sit in a meeting all day long. And sometimes when the youth trip is less than 2 weeks away, and the rest of the garden needs to be planted, and the bees need to be checked on, and the sermon needs to be written, I don't want to go to an all-day meeting in Randolph. Like many of us, I think that sometimes my default setting is being in two places at once. I can be in one place physically, but otherwise drifting into things I would rather be doing or need to be doing or wish I had the time to do. And I was feeling very much this concern on my drive to Randolph this week. But then I got there, and one of my colleagues shared a reflection that changed how I went about my day that day. It described exactly what I was feeling and kind of put my head on straight again. I'd like to share it with you. The reflection is called Spring Envy, and it was written by Reverend Robin Younger Boyce, pastor of the First Congregational Church in Thetford, and I'm sharing this with her permission. Is it me or is springtime in Vermont busy? My colleagues and friends with young children teeter on overwhelmed with all that this season demands. End of school year events, baseball game tournaments, graduations for extended family members, concerts, plays, and weddings. Oh, and the juggling performance of ongoing household maintenance, such as cooking, cleaning, and the newly added chore of tilling, planting, and watering the garden. All week long, a nagging voice in my head insisted I write down this line: the practice of humility in springtime. And this one as well: I must forcibly resist feeling one-upped by spring's lush boastfulness. One cannot help but feel upstaged by spring's seemingly instant success, its large-scale productivity and bright, variegated, verdant lushness. Like, how do you do that so fast and make it look so easy? Now, in contrast, I walk around unconscious and overwhelmed with all that I perceive the season demands. And while in my slumber, I fail to remember that spring's grand display arrives only after a long, dark, broken, cold winter. What my envious eyes witness is not something that came quickly, but on the contrary, something hard won and born of patience and humility of its own. A seed, one small, tiny seed, patiently in the dark, absorbing without guilt what it needs to grow. As I busy myself with insecure thoughts of envy, mulling over the season's perceived overconfidence, productivity, and efficiency, it wisely pays no heed to my feelings. Instead, spring focuses its energy on raising tendrils toward the sun and branches and buds outward toward neighbors. An irony, what looks to me like one simple posture, gratitude for this short, miraculous life. Yeah. Life is short. This is something that we state every single service at the very end. But I believe that this short life is jam-packed with meaning and experiences, a type of gushing fullness, like where your cup is overflowed and there's a big mess on the floor, type of fullness. And I wonder if this is something that the Apostle Paul is trying to get at here in our passage from 2 Corinthians. There's a lot of contrast here. Wasting away and renewal, momentary affliction and eternal glory. What is seen and what is unseen? What is temporary and what is eternal? That just as our lives are filled with things like aging and heartache and impermanence, there's this stuff from God that is for our sake. Stuff like renewal, a hopeful future, and more in life than meets the eye. And we catch glimpses of these graces now and again. In the weeding of a garden, in the building of a playground, in a reflection at a meeting, by attending a friend's wedding, or reading a really good book, or going on a hike, or under the blooming and buzzing of a black locust tree. If you notice, like, the black locusts are blooming right now, and bumblebees love them. So if you stand very quietly, the tree actually buzzes. Or by doing the right thing, or by eating fresh strawberries, or by praying for a loved one, or dancing with your children, no matter how old they are. What about the warmth of summer? What graces will God have for us these few months? What ways will God provide renewal, hope, and the realization that this life is short but very, very full? May God bless us and keep us this summer. May we reach upward and outward, seeking these eternal blessings. Amen.